Spice up your life with me, Health Chef Julia, as I set out on the journey of what is healthy. In each episode, we'll explore the different meanings of healthy. For some, healthy means indulging in something decadent and delicious. For others, it's a mental health day and a good workout. There's more to health than just food. It's about living well, enjoying your life, and having fun. Haven't you heard? Redheads do it best. Come with me and we'll find out just what healthy is. Welcome back to another episode of What is Healthy? And on today's episode, I'm here with chef and cookbook author, Laura Lee Bryant. Thank you so much for being on.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to connect with a fellow city. I'm not in the city anymore, but it has such a dear, dear, complicated place in my heart.
Well, I've been like stalking you on social media for years now. So
it's so wild. I can't believe it's been that long since I graduated from culinary school. It's just crazy.
I know. Where did you go to culinary school?
So I went to NGI. I went to the
Me too.
Oh my God. Wait, I think maybe that was in the original email that was sent. I think that's one of the reasons I was like, oh my gosh, I had a feeling that we had some kind of overlap, but that's crazy. So did you go when it was still like separate?
Yeah. So I was the last year. I was half the time at the original like hippie den NGI. And then my last 4 months, we did our Friday night dinner at ICE.
Okay. Oh my God. That's so crazy. That's so crazy. Wow.
I know. I can't believe. And I was actually just talking about it with someone, my best friend from culinary school. Like, yes, I'm so fortunate that I had the experience at ICE, but nothing compares to the old like NGI location and how like janky it was. I loved it so much.
It was so janky and it was amazing. I mean, I might get into it. I don't know if it'll make sense for what we're going to talk about, but I had a really hard time in New York when I was there. I was there for 5 years and 4 out of 5 was brutal. But my last year at NGI was so wonderful. And I think so much of it is because it was just like, it's just like this weird, crazy, supportive hippie community of people who like don't care about anything other than to just like be kind and accepting. And so I was really heartbroken when I heard that it had switched over. I mean, and I get why, but I'm glad that we both got to have that experience.
Absolutely. I was actually there for like the very last dinner at NGI. Like students came back from like the 70s.
Did they really?
Yeah, it was wild.
Yeah, I think I remember getting an email about that and couldn't make it up there. But man, that's ugh.
I ordered the cookbook on Amazon.
Oh wait, you know what? I do have it. Yes, I do have it. It's beautiful. I don't know, together by like a group of students.
No, it was one student. Her name is Alex Schitzman. She actually has a cookbook now too, and she. I met her because NGI was doing a class, like what are the classes called where they're not like part of the curriculum?
Whatever the elective courses
yeah.
are.
Yeah. And she did like a full social media photography course through like food and they hired her to do the cookbook.
Oh, that's so cool. Okay, cool. I want to look her up. That's awesome.
Yeah. I'll send you her thing. She's great. Oh my gosh. It's such a small world. I love that.
Very lame.
So tell me more about what you're doing now. Because I'm just like so impressed with everything that you have on social and your meal planning program and all the things.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's funny because it's just, I'm sure you found this too. And I think most people, most of my class, at least at NGI, you just fly by the seat of your pants until you don't, you know, and then you still kind of always are. But really, it's taken about 8 years for me to get to a point where I feel like I have a really clear vision for what my business looks like. But the two main components of my business are, well, really it all centers around recipe development and all the components that go into that and the writing and photography, but it shows up in different ways. So I have my cookbooks and I have 2 cookbooks and my cookbook, thank you. I mean, it's such a fun process. It like schools you. I mean, it's so hard, but it was awesome. So my cookbooks and my blog, llbalance.com, which is like my original website, that's where I put my sort of like more specialty focused recipes. So for people who have allergies, autoimmune diseases, some kind of intolerance or dietary need or preference, that's really where those recipes live. That really were the kind of like origin of what I was doing. finding, having a little bit of something for everybody. And, you know, like a coconut flour based or whatever it is. But about, so I guess it was now 9 months ago when the world started falling apart, I had a really big kind of like revelatory experience where I realized that so much of what I was doing with these specialty ingredients and recipes, while they are so important for the people who need them, they're not accessible or affordable to most people in the country still. And so I really wanted to create something that offers truly affordable and accessible food for people who don't need those like specialty ingredients. And I also needed to focus more digitally and online because I was doing a ton of cooking classes in person. So I created what is called the Simply Balanced Meal Plan Community. And it basically takes the idea of meal planning, but turns it into a completely different structure than what I'd seen before. Typically like meal plan apps and stuff, it like spits out five different recipes and then it kind of aggregates the ingredient list from all five different recipes. And so one, you're still in the kitchen every single night. And as much as I love to cook, like I would like to have some weeknights free as well. But it also ends up being like complicated because each night you're kind of having to think about a brand new recipe and a brand new technique and the prep and all of that. And so I created this meal plan community specifically with a structure, a batch cooking structure, because I hadn't seen anything where it's an ingredient list where the recipes and the ingredients work in tandem. So I choose them specifically. So if I tell you to get one onion, you're going to use half of it in one recipe and half of it in another. So there's almost no leftover ingredients. And then it makes four ingredients that you're done and you have them to eat throughout the week. And I shop for all of them at Walmart. And it was just a really humbling experience to really recognize like that for most people, what I've been doing is great, but it's really not accessible, you know?
It's not. And a lot of people don't know what batch cooking is. So I love that you like this explained it because it makes sense. If you have like four different recipes, but you kind of can cook for each recipe in unison, separately, but mix it up at the same time, I guess.
Totally. And you and I know that naturally from being chefs over the years, that's how we think about things is how do I get all, you know, all my mise en place and my prep and then I cook, but most people don't know that. So the way most recipes are written isn't for you to first do your prep. Instead it'll be like, you know, two carrots, chopped. But that's not built into the actual instruction itself. So you start reading the instructions, you're like, oh, okay, I was supposed to chop the carrots first, you know? And with mine, it's like, I'm just going to tell you what the ingredients are. And then I'm going to tell you what to do with all of them and then how to cook them. So it's been a lot of fun, you know, and it seems to be filling a need for people, which is really why we do what we do in the first place. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And they just like sign up right through like your Linktree or right on your website.
Yeah, it's on my Linktree. So llbalance.com is my main blog and you can get a link to the meal plan website there, but it's a separate website. It's simplylauralee.com/meal plan. So I can share those with you.
Yeah. Amazing. We'll put them in the bio notes.
Awesome.
How do you stay healthy? Like in all of this, what are your like go-tos? I mean, were you not going to tell me that you're like drink kuzu water like we learned in school, or maybe you do, but
so funny. I mean, yeah. So yeah, NGI is very like Chinese medicine focused and very macrobiotic, and or at least was when I was there, and really plant-based. So when I first graduated and I was sharing these recipes with like the Nashville community, everyone was like, I mean, I guess I can get on board with some of this, but so much of it was so foreign. And no, I definitely don't make like apple kuzu for like the occasional hangover, but it's good to know. I mean, it's good. And I will say, I mean, things like miso paste, I definitely do incorporate that and into some of my ingredients. And I think I learned about nutritional yeast and culinary school.
Yeah, I definitely use nutritional yeast, miso paste, and I definitely use that like every week.
I use those things a lot. So I definitely learned a lot from it. But for the most part, I mean, how I stay healthy, I think really has changed a lot. What's interesting is I would say in the last 3 years of my life, I eat less traditionally healthy than I did probably the previous 5 or 6 years, but I have felt physically healthier it's such a reminder that at the end of the day, it all comes down to your perspective and your mental health, I think, barring obviously, you know, specific dietary concerns and things you're working through. I really think so much of it is about being in a relaxed nervous system state when you eat, rather than, I don't want people, and I'm sure you're the same way, like, I would rather somebody eat something that's like a little bit less healthy, but do it in a relaxed, like, way with no judgment, no food rules, than like scarfing down a kale salad, but like distracted and worrying about how much fat is in the dressing and that kind of thing.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. Like, I just, like, food should be enjoyed. You should be happy. Like, I don't understand when people are like, oh, I forgot to eat. I don't get those people. And I don't get the people that, like, by stressing so much about what you're putting into your body, I think that, like, triggers other reactions in the body that increase stress and can later in the line increase other autoimmune issues and all sorts of mental health problems, when, like, food should be enjoyed and should make you happy and should nourish you, but should just, all around, you should be happy with what you're eating.
Totally. Like, I really think that's that low grade state of chronic stress that we're all living in that has been worse in the last 6 to 8 months. It's important to remember that that diet can combat that, but that your mental health can combat that even, I think, even more in some ways, by just really trying to be as present as possible and try to sort of like recultivate that attitude that you have about food when you're young, which is, yes, you want it to taste good and you enjoy it until you're done with it, and then you're done with it. And I think if we were able to be present and get rid of all the thoughts about what it means to eat that food and how much and just all the thoughts around it, then we would naturally listen to our body's hunger cues and that kind of thing. So it's interesting. And I definitely, and I know I'm not alone in this, I have had way more cravings for like comfort food in the last however long since the pandemic. I think it's just made us, you know, really want some kind of comfort and sense of safety. And so I've really been focused more on like healthy-ish versions of those kinds of comfort foods. You know, I'm definitely not afraid of like rice and take a little pasta here and there. And I just try to, you know, find something that feels really nourishing, but then add vegetables and like good quality proteins to it.
Exactly. And like in school, they definitely taught us that grains and carbs are okay. It's just having it like in a full balanced meal and having it properly digest and all the things. And I think that people are also very, really triggered by terms like no carb, keto, low fat, fat free. And they don't really like look into the ingredients of what they're putting into their bodies.
Yeah. Yeah. People ask me a lot why I don't share nutritional information for my recipes and especially in my cookbooks. And it wouldn't be hard for me to do that. That's not that much extra work for someone to plug them into some kind of, there are lots of things that there are lots of cookbooks that do that, but I don't want to do that because as soon as you give people numbers, they will make meaning of those numbers. And I don't want them to make meaning of them because they don't know what it means. And so the meaning that they make really could hurt them more than it could help them. So I would just rather them focus on how the food makes them feel than filling in some like idea of what it should look like.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. I struggle with this because I go to people's homes and I will meal prep and do all the things. And by the time I get home, I don't want to do it. And it's something that I'm trying to work on. But are there any like tips or tricks that you tell clients or people who sign up for the meal plan that like to, like, you know, sometimes you need that like one little step to get you over the hump to like get into the mental process of doing it more often for yourself. So are there any kind of tricks or things that you swear by to help you really get onto that level?
Yeah, definitely. So what's interesting about one of the things that's different about these meal plans as well is we only release one per month as opposed to per week. And the reason that we do that is because I want people practicing these meal plans. And I know that's not sexy and it's not glamorous, but it is one of the best ways to start to feel like you actually have control and that you actually, they become easy when you practice them. So if you're just making brand new recipes every single week, you're not going to practice. And it means that every single time you're going to feel almost like a newbie in the kitchen, being like, okay, what does this one say? And then what do I do with this one? And what about, so I want people to take these. And now at this point we have, I mean, I think almost 10 meal plans on there. And most people haven't even made all of them anyway. So I just encourage people to take a meal plan and make it a couple weeks in a row. And what's amazing is all of a sudden something that may have taken you, you know, 4 hours takes you 2 hours and you can start to incorporate the things that you really love and tweak it. And that I think is one of the biggest mental hurdles, is just the overwhelm that comes with it. But if you know, and then the other thing about practicing is that you start to have your pantry staples lying around. So preparation. So if you know you have most of the things that you need, except for your perishables, it just becomes way less daunting. And the reality is it's great if people can, like, you know, purchase healthy takeout all the time, but like most people, like 99% of people can't afford that. And so we need to be cooking at home. Like we have to find a way to improve our relationship with it. And then the other thing I would say kind of along those lines is just setting yourself up for success environmentally. So, you know, put on music, pour kombucha or a glass of wine, and, you know, kick everybody out of the kitchen and just make it a pleasant experience, or listen to a podcast. And create an experience that you actually look forward to. And I don't know anyone who makes beautiful food for themselves and has it to eat throughout the week who like doesn't like that, you know?
Exactly. You have to get over that hurdle. And it's like, you're so right. It's setting the mood, getting it all laid out. Like, I definitely have all the pantry staples. Like, I am the chef. It's just like, do I want to lay on the couch right now and order? And it's the thing, the other thing, like you said, it's so expensive, especially in New York. Like, my bills literally go to Ubers and just like obscene Seamless bills. I'm like, I could have made this and spent $7.
And yours would have tasted better. Like, I mean, that's the thing, is like takeout, like 9 out of 10 times, I'm like, it's just disappointing and it's so expensive, and you don't really know what's going in.
I was literally about to say that. You don't know what oils they use. You don't know what kind of.
So I think it's, you know, we should all treat ourselves every now and again. I think to whatever sounds really good when it comes to taking out or picking up. But most of the time, I think people are like, oh, I could have just thrown something together. And I get it. You and I, I think we were talking about it before we started. But you know, when you cook for people for a living, that's, I mean, selfishly, one of the reasons I created these meal plans is, and I just put, my freezer is now full of a meal plan for, you know, the next month, because I, at the end of the day, from testing and cooking, I don't want to take the time to make something. So I'll have my own food sitting there ready for me to reheat it. You also have to make peace with leftovers and like reheating. That's part of the deal.
There are people who, I had an ex one time who's refused to eat any leftovers.
Really?
And I was just like sitting there eating it myself. And I'm like, how do you live off of not eating leftovers?
I don't get it either. I think most people have, it's more of like a mental hurdle for them.
Yeah. Or like an aesthetic.
Yeah. I definitely have people who are like that. And you know, honestly, my meal plans aren't, if you're not even open to trying leftovers, these are not the right fit for you. But I designed the meals so that they are easy to reheat and freeze for the most part. So there are things that should like do that really well. And as you and I also know, I mean, food that has had like 24 hours to sit in the fridge and let it taste better.
It gets so much more flavorful.
Yeah.
I agree. So you mentioned that they can find, we'll have the links for the Walmart shopping. So like, how did you go into Walmart and do all of this? You're like, okay, I'm going to do it on a budget. Was there like a price point?
So basically what I did, I'm sure I looked like a crazy person, but I wanted to start shopping for Walmart for the meal plans because I wanted them to be accessible. And there are a lot of people where even if money is not the objection, the only thing they have close to them within like an hour's drive, like in a lot of the country, is a Walmart. And I started to find some like cool, healthy things at Walmart, but I realized with thousands and thousands of SKUs, you could, one, it's really hard to find them yourself. And two, there will be like 10 bags of almonds and like one of them is the one that's healthy and affordable, but you have to know what it is. So I literally went into Walmart and probably spent 10 to 12 hours scouring every single shelf. I was like on my hands and knees, like looking at the price thing, because I was figuring out not only like what's healthy, but also like per ounce and per serving, what the best price deal was, and like asking people like, what does this say? So I went, I aggregated it into a 10-page PDF that has all the healthiest finds at Walmart that are also the best prices and what the prices are at my store and that kind of thing. Cause again, like there was like three, like scattered throughout the store, there were three canned coconut milks and one of them was absolute crap. One of them was really expensive and one of them was a great option. So I'm like, look for this one, you know?
And that's another thing. People like never check the ingredients because we're triggered just to read the label.
Yeah. And you really have to be careful because it is, it's really frustrating. I mean, like I said, like the almonds is a good example, just because one will be like a bag of, they look the exact same, but one has some weird oil and like a bunch of preservatives and the other one like almonds. So.
And that's all on the website as well.
Yeah. So that is, that is on ellabalance.com and, under my shop page, and I can share that. And then if you are a community member, if you're in my meal plan community, you get that for free. So that's on the member homepage just for you to have whenever.
Okay. Amazing. So something that I've been asking everyone is, your last day on earth, what would your last meal be? Appetizer, entree, dessert.
Oh my God. I love this so much.
Mine was gross. Mine was like a chicken parm, calamari salad, and an affogato for dessert.
So my appetizer would probably be like a really, like would be like a mini cheese plate with like some like amazing cheeses, crackers, like some pickles, some meat. And I would probably like put those together and like charcuterie. Entree would honestly be like a really good burger with like freshly cut fries and mayo, because that's what I like to dip my fries in. A really amazing burger with like a brioche bun. And there's a burger in Nashville that actually comes to mind. It's so good. And then for dessert, I mean, I am like molten chocolate lava cake, like anything chocolate with like whipped cream or like vanilla ice cream.
Yeah, it's okay. It's your last day on earth. You can do whatever you want. There are certain recipes from NGI that I still use that I've like remembered, like flourless almond tort.
Ooh, I haven't made that again.
Yeah, I can tell you right now, it's 3 cups of almond flour, 1 cup of maple syrup, and 6 eggs and some almond extract. Never fails. It's like 4 ingredients, and everybody in my class always made fun of me because I wanted the, like during cookies and baking, that's not my, so like I would always pick the recipe that had like the least amount of ingredients, and then it could all go into a food processor.
I may get you to send me that. I have my binders left over, but I don't remember that exact one. So I may have to.
Mine was all digital. So it was all on like a Google Drive. So before we graduated, I re-downloaded the Google Drive. So I have it all. So I can send you a bunch of stuff.
That would be awesome. I would love that. Yeah, ours was definitely all hard copy at the time. No, I'm sure everyone does that. I mean, there's such good recipes. There's so much good stuff there.
So much good stuff. And like, it's interesting that the person who created it had like no culinary background.
Yeah. I mean, I tell people that all the time. Like, I'm glad that we went to NGI because it is so specialty focused, but at the same time, like, what's made us good at like better chefs is just doing it. It's not the school. Like, you don't come out of culinary school a good chef. You do everything like once. And so I'm just like, you know, just if what you want is to be a really good cook, you just got to do it every day.
Yeah, I love that that's your method too, that like they have to repeat the recipes because that is how you become confident in the kitchen. That is how, yeah. And then like, once you're more confident with that recipe, you can, you know, grab the ingredients on the go and just make it on the spot and feel good and nourished and.
Yeah. And accomplished and in control. I mean, it's just empowered. It's just, yeah, it's a good thing.
Amazing. I am so thankful that you came on today and we chatted and we got to reconnect on all things NGI.
I know. I hope we can meet in person someday.
Definitely. And I hope that when this episode airs, we're going to do a little live cooking together. Maybe we'll do like a throwback NGI recipe.
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah. Maybe we'll make the chocolate tort because I know my community would love to see that.
Yes. Okay. Let's make that. Thank you so much for being on. I really, really appreciate it. And then please mention again where everybody can follow you, your website, Instagram, all the things, and then we'll also link it.
Awesome. So, I'm at Laura Lee Balanced on Instagram, and then LL Balance is my main blog, and that will just take you to a little bit of everything. So
thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. Bye. See ya.